regularly scheduled meeting of the City of Mountain Park for Monday, August 28th, 2023. Before we get started, I'd like to ask everyone to join me in the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Now, as the city clerk, please call the roll.
Robin Auerbach.
Present.
Mark Murphy.
Here.
Jim Still.
Here.
Carol Silver.
Present.
Emily Myers.
Present.
We have no absences to dispense with, so we will go straight to financial report.
The ending bank balances as of July 31st, 2023, are in the general fund, $1,293,097.77. Enterprise fund, $491,403.17. And ARPA is $212,112. In court is $32,319.22. In lake restoration fund, there's $343,056.06. MPBFR is $2,547.25. SPLOST has $38,544.64. T-SPLOST 1 has $471,920.98. T-SPLOST 2 has $146,674 for a total bank balance of $2,999,355.87. Performance for the month of July, revenue in the enterprise fund was $29,340.37. Expenses in the enterprise fund were $27,843.93 for a net income of $1,496.44. Revenues in the general fund were $26,798.31. Expenses in the general fund were $20,279.75 for a net income of $6,518.56.
All right, thank you. Next item on the agenda is the approval of minutes from three previous meetings. Chair will entertain a motion.
I make a motion that we approve. Can I do all three or just one?
One at a time, please.
The motion is to approve the regular council meeting of July 24th.
All right, do I have a second? Second by Councilperson Murphy. Discussion? All those in favor? And it is unanimous. Thank you. Chair will entertain another motion.
Make a motion to approve the meeting minutes of the special call meeting for 8-1.
All right, Councilman Murphy, do I have a second? Councilperson Auerbach? It's got a lot of letters in there. All right, discussion, all those in favor? Any opposed? No, it's all good. And finally, the third.
I make a motion to approve the minutes of the special call meeting of 8-17-2023.
All right, do I have a second? Second, Councilperson Auerbach. Councilperson Lee. All those in favor, please designate by show of hands. And it is unanimous. Thank you. We need to adopt the agenda, but I think we need to make some changes.
I finally got the Dynamo invoice in for our pool filter, so I have that in the packet and need that to add that as new business number 7.
All right. Dynamo pool. Anyone else? Chair will entertain a motion to adopt the amended agenda.
I make a motion that we adopt the agenda as amended.
All right, I have a motion. Do I have a second? Second by Councilperson Myers. All those in favor? It is unanimous. Thank you. We have an agenda. Mayor's report. First of all, I would like to congratulate all of the citizens that have stepped up and put their name in the hat to run for the upcoming election. I think it is a commendable. Yes.
They're asking that you please speak up. They can't hear very well.
Okay. I want to congratulate the folks that have stepped up and put their name in the hat for the upcoming election. It is a honor and privilege to serve your fellow citizens in this capacity in the public light. You know, all you have to be willing to do is to vote your conscience and put the best interest of the community before your own personal interest. And I think people are fully capable of doing that. So with that said, I'm going to announce that the candidates for mayor are Lloyd Hendricks, Bill Kohlbrunner, and Scott Reed. For city council, Linda Dixon, Jamie Jones, Mark Murphy, Isaac Ike Powell, Carol Silver, and Wanda Taylor. So thank you all for serving your community or being willing to put your hat on to serve your community. And good luck to everyone. So. All right. Just a couple of notes. I was invited to a North Fulton Chamber of Commerce elected officials appreciation reception. This was a week or so ago, and it was very nice. They had some really good representatives from all the different segments of the North Fulton community, business community, the charity community, and of course the elected officials. So I was honored to be a part of that little reception. Myself and Logan and Robin were invited to take a tour of the facility where they make the water meters for our new smart. Endpoints. Sorry, you're right. And it was very interesting. I knew what you meant. It was a very interesting tour to see how they actually put these units together for the community. So. It was one of my favorite parts of the job is to get, we did a tour of the Cobb County Marietta Water Authority plant one time, and that was a very interesting experience as well as this. So, North Fulton Municipal Association was canceled for this month. We had some absences in the mayor's vacations and things, so typically happens during the summer months, not everybody's available, and we don't have maybe any agenda items, so I'm sure that next month or the following we'll get back to meeting and discussing the mutual challenges of the Lower Fulton area. With that said, are there any council members that would like to make reports? Councilperson Alibi.
We had a very, very good pancake breakfast with the Civic Club Coffee with Neighbors and raised over $3,000 for the fire department, which was, it was amazing. Many people were here, I was shocked. Also, just, you know, we've been trying to work on a capital improvement plan for a while, and I think we've pretty well got it almost all down, but I have registered for the Carl Benson Institute class on capital improvement planning, so hopefully we can pull it all together. That is important to have a five-year, if that's what we agreed to, five-year long-term plan for this city, so we have kind of a roadmap, so when new council members come on board, they kind of know where to start. We have projects already lined up and funding appropriated.
All right, thank you. Councilperson Myers, did you have a report?
Yes, I do. I have been working on, really exploring at this point, digital processing services, which is essentially moving from a very paper-based setup within City Hall to going digital in as many ways as we can. I was able to do a demonstration with a company called Avenue, AVENU, which is actually a contact Jim forwarded to me, so thank you for that.
You're welcome.
They showed me what they do, and council has a brief kind of brochure detailing their services about 5 pages into the packet. So just wanted you guys to look at it and see what they offer. This is the first company I've had a chance to speak with, but what they shared was very promising. I think that what this could do for us is it could save City Hall time. Hopefully, once we've got everything up and going, it would help streamline a lot of City Hall functions. This would allow things like open records requests to come together much more quickly and reach residents much more quickly. Their services involve actually scanning all of the paperwork. They can either do it in-house or we send it off to them. Either way, they said it's actually cheaper to do it in-house and it's more secure that way. They will index the documentation for us, and they also have a system for storing this that we would pay as we go along. So didn't even know what to say when they asked how many documents we might be looking at. If anyone has a ballpark, that would be great, but I think that's something we'll figure out as we go along. But again, I'm hoping this is a tool for City Hall and for residents alike.
All right. Thank you. Thank you for looking into that. Anyone else? Councilman Silver?
Yeah, Robert and I met with Lisa Perrett on Monday, August 21st, virtual meeting. And she works with, correct me, Robin, EPD, the EPD division of...
She used to be with the EPD.
Yes, she is with Integrated Science and Engineering. She used
she,
to
yeah, she yeah, worked she, with the
Lisa's
EPD
been around for
branch forever. Of it. And when I was listening to her, I realized we've really made a lot of progress. We've gathered a lot of data that now we are learning what to do with the data. We talked about having a watershed management plan meeting. Mountain Park is a very small part of the overall watershed, and it's become obvious that we need to join very tightly together with all the surrounding areas and start focusing on a way to address the problem of silt. We all know that that is our key problem with Lake Garrett. We need to be on a 303D siltation list. This is really important. Chime in, Robin, if I'm doing this wrong, but it's become important to notify the city of Roswell when you see siltation that is draining into Rocky Creek. I know that I drive through Brookfield pretty frequently, and for example, there was a house that had all of the front yard torn out, and it was exposed mud for about 3 weeks, and there was a red stream of mud going down the street. We've got the name of someone in the Community Development Department. I've got a phone number, but it's becoming important for us to snap a picture, send it to somebody on council, and perhaps we should be the ones to be notified, Roswell, of this siltation. When you see something, say something. It's the same idea as with the code enforcement. Another suggestion was to notify the Atlanta EPD of siltation by Roswell. And the reason I'm mentioning Roswell is because they're the community that flows into Rocky Creek, and I've got a number for their Atlanta office. We've been talking about developing a watershed protection plan. We talked about infrastructure grants that might be available. The thing with grants is the city provides matching funds. Now, the last thing on the list was GEFA, the Georgia DOD. I've got an email address, basically, concerning low-interest loans available for dredging. I know we've talked about dredging. We've got the funding for that. That might be a better route rather than doing a grant, because the grant requires matching funds. How am I doing? Okay. So that's basically it. We're still just looking around and really hoping that we're moving closer to the dredge. I'm looking at you.
Yeah, please
do. Please do.
What she did, she convinced me that we do not need a watershed management plan, which is a good thing, I guess, because it was going to cost $50,000 to $100,000.
Mm-hmm.
So this was the first time I had heard of water protection plan,
mm-hmm.
watershed protection
mm-hmm.
plan, and I think Bill's been looking into that as well. So she gave us steps. Do this first, Roswell first,
mm-hmm.
then the
Atlanta,
then the whatever the last EP, whatever. So it made a lot of sense. What was the last thing on your list?
The last thing I've got on here was looking at either grants versus low interest loans.
Okay, so I signed up for a seminar this Wednesday, mm-hmm. that goes into all of low-cost financing. I don't know that we'll need it or not, but I would like to know more about
yeah,
it.
She
said 2%. I think it's gone up much higher than that.
Maybe not. But it's a government loan, it's a little different.
So with any luck, we hope to have a plan to get our lakes fixed before we retire.
Yeah, and of course, my first reaction was being discouraged, but then I realized we've done so much already.
Yeah.
That was kind of exciting.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. That completes your report.
That's it.
All right. Councilman Murphy, do you have anything you would like to report? With that said, I will now turn it over to City Hall.
To update everybody, ISC I received the ad and the RFP is getting finalized, and so it will be advertised and going to advertisement. Next week, it'll be in the paper, so it'll be live and available out there to start that process, starting in September, and we'll be getting it back in October. And then she'll present it at the council meeting that month, hopefully. So that is in the works. Did want to let everyone know, you may have noticed the arrows, finally we got on the list. We're like a small project, so it took a minute to get there. They are aware that there's still some. They weren't able to finish all in one day, so they will be coming back to finish. I think there's like a handful of six or seven.
I had a question, and I meant to ask you when we were meeting earlier today. The bulk lines, are those slated?
That was never on the agenda. That was never approved at this point in time.
Okay.
The what lines?
The lots where you stop, they call them bulk lines, where you're supposed to stop for a stop sign, so you're not too far out or you're not too far back. And they have to be repainted from time to time, but we'll get to that.
Yeah.
Right now, the speed humps were very important. Yes.
Yeah, I had a question too. Some of them, they look great around. Some of them, it looks like paint has splattered on the road. Do they come through and do any cleanup at all, or is that just?
I can ask if you know specific ones. I can have them take a look at it. I don't know.
Yeah. Okay. There were some that just looked messier than others. I don't know if it really matters, but I'll send it to you.
I think that's. Yeah.
I have a question. We should be getting nearing completion of the smart water meter install. I know the 1-inch and 2-inch meters were on back order, but they're in now.
They are.
So our 1-inch and 2-inch are not here yet.
Yeah, I was going to say.
We should have them by the end of this week is what we're hoping for. They were on back order just because of manufacturing. It's the same thing. We're still waiting on our endpoints. The endpoints, if you don't know what they are, that's what allows me to sit at my desk and get the reads.
Right.
So until then, you will still see George out. He's out all this week, weather permitting. He's not allowed out in the rain anymore. So weather permitting, George is out reading meters. But until then, and until billing gets settled, you are going to notice some people had it last month, some people have it this month. You'll notice that you might have longer billing periods. If that's the case, just reach out to me at City Hall or reach out to Jennifer so I can do the math essentially and make sure that you weren't jumped to a higher tier just based on when your meter was changed, and if you were, see what the difference was. And all of them that I've had so far, it's been a difference of a penny to, I think, $11 was the most I had. So it really has not caused any major overbilling. It just looks like it causes overbilling because you look at your bill and you go, why was I billed for 39 days? You are not double billed. It's just the way your meter, because of when it was switched out. But other than that, everything's going very smoothly.
Yeah, so hopefully by the end of this month, we may have everything in and installed,
yes.
But there may be another month.
Right.
Still,
yeah.
Well, I'd like to commend you ladies in City Hall for managing through this whole process, because you did your job, your regular jobs, but you also were dealing with all of the things that come along with a complete citywide meter replacement. So
yes.
Thank you. Yeah, that allows you to do your job. So. All right. Keep going.
Okay, that's it.
That's it? All right. With that said, we now have appearances, and our stakeholder representative from City of Mountain Park, Mr. Lloyd Hendricks, is here to talk about the T-Splice meeting. Lloyd?
All right. We had our mid-year meeting the 25th of July. There were 8 representatives in person. There was one person that was there virtually. Kim Ross, the coordinator for GMC for doing this T-Splice, wasn't able to be there. So her boss, Rhonda Davis, showed up. She's the vice president of Golden Mills and Cabot. Great news, first thing out of there. There is no longer a sunset clause for extended T-Splice warranty. That money is now ours. Free and clear, spend it when you're ready. Okay?
That's great.
That's good.
And in our case, we're going to spend it all on the first project, probably. The accounting of it until it's spent stays the same. If you need D Splosh 2 money to augment it, you just have to pass a resolution either designating an amount that you're going to transfer over or designating a percentage of the project you're going to spend it on, one or the other, and pass it through council.
Wonderful. That gives us a lot more flexibility then.
It is so much easier.
Yes.
It only took Fulton County Legal a year to figure out that that clause had been taken out of the bill.
That's a little better.
That's
pretty good
charter.
All right, Lloyd.
First year of T Splosh 2 was great. The collections were 27% above the prediction. So far this year, it's only at 15%, and GSU expects that number to decline. Whether or not it goes to zero this year, we don't know. But if we collect what they predict, we still should be in pretty good shape.
Yeah.
We had some serious discussions about RFPs and project work. Every city in North Fulton, and for the most part, every city in Fulton, is having trouble either getting their RFPs out there and people are addressing them, or they're getting them out there and they're not getting addressed, which is our case. They all have rebids in the 200 to 300% range of what they had before. Nobody had a 400 like we did, but they're all in the same problem. And Ms. Davis recommended that the city halls talk to each other and coordinate how to release their RFPs. If somebody has to stage for us, they're going to be a lot more apt to stage something here if the next job they got is sitting in Milton, rather than going all the way to South Florida.
Mm-hmm. Or to Roswell. Yeah,
or to Roswell.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Or to Alpharetta even.
Yeah.
According to David Clark, who is Fulton County rep for T Splosh, it is perfectly legitimate if we want to draft our RFPs and put them out there to contact the three people we think are best suited to do this and let them know, hey, we got this going on, and oh, by the way, Milton's got one going on that you might be interested in too. It's not a problem to inform these people what we're trying to do to entice them to bid.
Makes sense.
All right? There's nothing wrong with that. So she said we should try that strategy, and maybe we can make that work. And that's pretty much it.
All right. Well, Lloyd, we certainly appreciate you attending these meetings as our representative and bringing back all this good information that you just shared with us tonight. So certainly is encouraging on us being able to get more of this stuff done and get to have the money to do it. So yeah. Thank you. All right, next item is the consent agenda. There is none. Following that is unfinished business. First item of unfinished business, leak adjustment request for Virginia Knight. I don't know who we decided was going to take that.
Yes.
All right, thank you for stepping up.
Sure. I make a motion to approve the leak adjustment request for Virginia Knight.
Have a motion, do I have a second? Second by Councilperson Murphy. Discussion. All those in favor? And any opposed? It's 3-4, one against, the motion carries. All right. Councilperson Silver was the one dissenting. Okay, just for the record. All right. Next item under unfinished business is the consideration of increasing funds for the fishing bridge project by $3,000 for updated project totaling of $13,000.
And I'm going to take this one, and my motion is to increase the funds for the fishing bridge project by $4,000. for the updated project total of $14,000.
All right, that is the motion. Do we have a second?
This is up to, right?
Correct.
You got a second.
Wait, we got a second. Oh, second. All right, Councilperson Myers seconded. All right.
I meant to say up to.
Okay, so that is up to $14,000.
We already increased it, so I'm just curious.
I am going by the recommendation on the employer who is going to be doing this. I brought in the document.
Council hadn't officially approved an increase. There was an amount of $10,000 that was approved, I believe.
Oh, I know, but why are we going up to $4,000 instead of
$3,000? My notes say here that the pickets were not to code. The 4 inches are the opening size of the pickets. We need to have more. That was going to add $1,638. I can't read the rest of this, but I know that when I consulted.
Isn't that why we increased it to $3,000?
I've got down here 3,138, so I'm simply asking for a little bit more, up to 4,000, not 3,138.
All right. Anyone else? Any more questions, comments? All those in favor designate by show of hands. And it is unanimous. Thank you. All right. Now with the new business agenda. First, item number one, consideration of a special called election to fill city council office vacancy due to qualifying for another office. Basically what this means, Georgia state law is resigned to run, which means if your term is not ending before you take the oath of office for another elected position, then you have to resign your seat from your current position to run for an upcoming one, which means we'll have a two-year term to be filled because Councilman Colebrunner, or former Council Colebrunner, Citizen Colebrunner, has decided to throw his hat in the ring for the mayor. And with that said, we're going to have to fill the remaining 2 years of his term. Bill has graciously agreed to finish working as an agent of the city to complete the projects and everything that he has volunteered and stepped up to do. So we appreciate that. But we do need to have the election, so I'm going to ask Jennifer to explain what the next step is in this process.
Yeah, so if council chooses, we can add that special 2 year term position on the ballot in November. There will be a requalifying for just that 2 year position that will occur, and it'll be opening up on September 5th and go through noon on September 7th. And the qualifying fee would be the same, 27. Yes.
So we have 4 candidates for council.
Correct.
Why wouldn't...
Five, sorry.
Six. Linda, James,
six.
Martin.
Yeah, no, six. Yeah, right. Six. Sure. Sorry, yeah. I'm like, I had to do these numbers in my head, but yeah.
So would the top three vote getters...
No.
That did not work. That's what I was
saying. It's a separate position.
They said we can't do it by plurality.
It'll
or
be a separate
it.
Vote.
It has to be a separate.
Because it's a 2 year term.
Because it's a 2 year term.
And not a chance of an appointment like we did last year?
No, because it would have to be in. I'm trying to remember what the circumstances
were. We did it last
time.
I was going to say.
The appointment would be for 2 months because it is the appointment is only until the next regular election, which is November. So,
yeah.
So it would be for two months.
So the people that qualified for the two slots cannot.
They would have to give up that qualification and requalify under
for two.
The new 2 years.
Do we think there's other people out there that would run?
Well, that might for a 2 year term.
They might for a 2 month.
They might not, or,
Well, let me ask you, Jennifer, can I do that?
Resign?
That's a decision for whoever to make about what I can't say that.
You can withdraw your qualification, I would imagine. I can't imagine.
Now, at this point in time, it's nothing is a...
They haven't even approved it yet. But if they approve it tonight, then I would say that anyone that would like to withdraw their qualification for a 4 year term... would withdraw from a 4 to qualify for a 2 year could do that.
So will this election be at the same time as the
yes,
okay.
November whatever that first Tuesday is, yes.
So if you, the appointment would actually be for like 4 months, because it would be until January?
No, I'm going to get to the appointment. We're going to talk about the appointment in a second. We're talking about an election in the next general election, which is November. We can discuss an appointment between now and then, but I really don't think this council needs it. I think that we can continue to do the city's business without putting somebody in a learning curve, and you cannot appoint the person that was removed from that seat. So it's going to, you know, there's nobody that's going to be up to speed in 2 months to be able to really make a difference just between us girls. So I think that somebody that wanted to not run for the 4-year term could withdraw and run for the 2 remaining years of the former council member's term. Any other questions? Yes, ma'am.
I don't need to go backwards, but if someone were appointed, would that mean that in the previously qualified election, it would be for 3 seats, the same candidates for all 3 seats, because one would vacate in January? Is that right?
No.
No.
Okay.
It would still be.
What would happen if there was an appointment?
The appointment would basically be for October, September and October for 2 months.
Then what would happen to that seat
The election for the 2-year term would be in November, and would last for 2 years.
As it was.
Yeah, so you would have, basically you're appointing somebody to finish the month of September and the month of October, because then in November is the general election, and a person would be elected to start in January the 2 remaining years. So I just feel like that you're going to bring somebody in that may not be up to speed, someone that is going to simply just be playing catch up by the time the election gets here. I think you guys are up to speed. I think you're up to a high speed wobble in some cases, but I think this is not going to really be a benefit for the council for the next 2 months. So, all right.
So are there any big things we're going to be voting on that there could be a... That it could, you know, what I'm saying is it would be
a tie.
Yeah.
I mean, I know
you break the tie, but I know that there has been a big difference of opinion on things.
Well, and that's what makes it work, because if we all agree, most of us would be necessary. So I think that what will happen is this council basically doesn't have any, what I would think would be
big decisions,
super critical decisions. That, you know, between now and the next election. Okay. Anybody else have any questions?
So is this something that the council will vote on, that we're not going to fill that seat and just leave it vacant? Or have we already decided that that's what's going to happen?
Well, that just would...
Understand.
Yeah, they would basically not vote to appoint somebody for the 2 months. But they do have to vote to approve the special election to fill the 2-year seat, because none of our seats are 2 years. They're all 4 years.
You just got that cleaned up a little
bit. Right, we just got that, and we got it 3 and 3. So this would just be for the remaining 2 years of the previous elected official's term.
And so I guess my question is, there will be a vote that says we need to have this special election in November to fill a 2-year seat, because it is very different than a 4-year seat.
Right,
so we understood.
Right.
Will there also be, and people are asking on here as well, a vote by this council to say we should or should not fill the vacancy for the next, and it's really not 2 months, because you're on council till January when the new people come in. So it's longer than 2 months, and I'm just sharing
information.
So that's the question. Is that,
and December's really a note, not, is it, you know, that's really not a...
We understand the November issue.
Yeah. Well, if this council really...
Does this council, are you going to vote yes or no, or are you just going to assume it's not necessary to fill Bill's position?
Well,
that's the question,
right,
I think, on the table.
And first we need to talk, we're discussing the upcoming election, so we need to get that vote out of the way. And then if anyone on council really wants to make an appointment, then they would have to, I would have to make a recommendation. And I can do that, and then they would vote on it. But my position is, instead of making a recommendation, I think that they would be able to manage for the next couple of months, because December, we really don't do much of anything. That has been my experience. And come January, all we're doing is getting people sworn in so they can start doing stuff. So, just my opinion. But at this point, the council needs a motion to call for the special election to fill the vacancy of the previous council member. Okay.
I make a motion to approve a special called election to fill city council office vacancy due to qualifying for another office.
All right, I have a motion by Councilperson Auerbach, second by Councilperson Murphy. Any more discussion? Any questions? All those in favor designate by a show of hands, and it is unanimous. Thank you. Now, if there is someone that would like to make a motion to an appointment, I can make a recommendation. You don't have to go with my recommendation. You can make, someone can make a motion to appoint somebody else.
Do we have that name?
Yeah. Yeah, it's probably a record. Yeah. All right, you gonna whisper it to me over here? Okay.
Just ask. Been through training.
Yeah.
Just ask.
So that is up to council. If council so desires, we can do that. All right. With that said, then we will move forward. The next item on the agenda is the consideration of the RDO invoice for the amount of $6,895.40 for a water main leak repair on Ladeau Road. Chair will entertain a motion.
I make a motion to approve the RDO invoice in the amount of $6,895.40 for the water main leak repair on Ladeau Road.
Do I have a second? I have a second by Councilperson Meyer. Discussion. This was a pretty good size of a water main.
It was a water main, and there is going to be another part coming because there was a major road repair because it was underneath the road, and the road ultimately ended up developing a sinkhole after. Yeah, so
because we created a problem,
so there will be another part coming just
yeah.
to prevent.
So this is only a part.
That
part
is
of
part. Yes.
I don't want to say half because I hate to.
No. Yeah. No. It's not. Yeah. It's. I don't know what.
It was a water main break.
A water main?
Yeah.
And it wasn't related to the road construction?
No. It wasn't road, yeah.
And for those folks that are not certain, those are our water lines. We do sell water to the folks on Ladeau and Gordo, I'm from the South, but no. And those homes over there in that area. So yeah, that is our responsibility.
And that was news to me, and I've lived here 39 years, and I had no idea. That was news to me.
Yeah, it's gonna come up sooner or later.
Is there any way to maybe add to their bill a way to compensate large expenses like this? I mean, just.
Well, that would be like adding to, if we have a break on Birdland side, are we gonna raise their rates over there?
But they don't pay taxes to pay for all rates within the city, correct?
But they pay to the enterprise fund, which is what the money comes from, correct? That we use for these repairs. Yeah, so, I mean, you would think that we could do like an impact fee, but no,
that's a big impact.
Yeah. All right, any other questions or comments? All those in favor, please designate by a show of hands, and it is unanimous. Thank you. That's done. Consideration of a new leaf arbor estimate in the amount of $3,000. Chair will entertain a motion.
I make a motion to approve the new leaf arbor estimate in the amount of $3,000 for the Russell Bridge area tree removal and cleanup.
All right, do I have a second?
Second.
Second by Councilperson Silver. Yeah, I'm going to say, guys, when you do a second, say second, because I can't look right and see what's happening to the left. So, all right, any questions or comments?
See, we're still learning.
Anybody have any questions? All those in favor designate by a show of hands. I do like to count the hands when it comes to voting. So. All right, thank you. Next item is the consideration of funds for pool repairs needed.
This is mine, and I will clarify through the discussion what and why I'm making this motion. My motion is to approve the Dynamo quote for needed repairs up to
$15,000. $15,900, correct? Mm-hmm. All right, do I have a second?
Second,
there we go.
Discussion. All right, so we budgeted $36,000 for pool repairs. Some of these prices may change. For example, I recommended that we go ahead and replace the mastic joint, which is $3,500. By the way, for those of you that don't know, I talked with three different companies, and the quotes came in pretty close, within 100 or two of each other. It's been suggested that we might be able to get a painter, for example, to come in and replace the mastic joints and charge us $1,000 less. So that's why I wanted an up to amount, because some of these things may be higher or lower. Universal no dive markers, $1,500 is required by Fulton County, and this is dead signs only. Pump catch basket, $400. Apparently we can get our own online or at a spa store for approximately $200 if we want to save $200 and send George on a shopping trip. Replacing the motor, $3,800, and the question is now or next spring. So the known repairs are $9,200 if we choose to just take them at face value and not do any more research. The fans in the pump room are not working. One removes chlorine gas, the other is a heater. Nate with Dynamo has offered to come and check it at no charge. Based on what he finds, we will most likely need an electrician. And that's a big variable right now, because we have no idea if the fans can be repaired or they need to be replaced. And the things that we are not doing right now, all companies stated that we can wait 1 to 2 years to replaster the pool. We wait until someone complains of pool toe. Replaster will require an RFP, and those quotes came in at $36,000 to $46,000 plus 10 to 15 grand for tile at the water line, replacing the grout and all that. So fortunately, it's a good thing that we don't want to have to replaster right at this moment, because we did not budget that much money. Both Nate and Mike with Dynamo agree that we do not replace pumps at this time. Two of them are still working and not leaking. Of course, they may go out next week, you never know. But you know, they had a difference of opinion there at first, and then today they both agreed that we do not replace them. Okay, now the motor. Here's what I need to explain. if we wait to replace the motor until next spring, then that's when the 1 year warranty starts on the motor. But what Nate was explaining to you today, we depend on a built-in freeze protection that automatically turns the motor on when temperatures get cold enough to keep the water circulating in the winter so our pipes don't freeze. If we continue to use this same motor, knowing that it's going bad and it stops working when we have low temperatures, like last December when the temperatures went down to 4 degrees, the automatic freeze protection will not work. So Nate strongly recommends that we begin winterizing our pool if we're going to wait till next spring to replace the motor, so we have a full year on a warranty. He wants us to winterize our pool, and he said he would do it no charge this year, but said to make sure it is included in our contract next year. He said maybe less than $500 when we add it to our contract. And he said he himself would never depend on freeze protection. So Nate, by the way, has really proven himself. I mean, he's available at a moment's notice. Anytime we text or call, he's right here. And if I'm not mistaken, I think their estimate for the contract are next year, next pool season, came in lower than the other estimates that I got. So they've really gone out of their way to save money. I am not including diving boards in this particular motion at this time, because more research is needed to check into replacing stands. The boards themselves are okay. It's the stands, and one company strongly suggested that we do the acid dip, sandblasting, and then galvanize them, saying we get, you know, up to 50 years out of them. But I don't know enough about it yet to make that motion, and we have a little bit more time. The tile that is missing, we are not going to take their estimate, which was like $650.
hopefully we can go to floor decor and find something that kind of matches. It doesn't look that bad to me. I never noticed it. And then we'll borrow somebody's saw, cut the tile to fit, and tape it in.
Or glue it in, there you go.
Yeah, so any questions?
One of these tiles does not fit.
I have a question. So you itemized $9,200 worth of expenses.
Yes.
But you're asking for 50% over that. Is that because your estimate the fans will cost about that?
I don't know. I think it could be like an HVAC system in there. It's ductwork and motors and fans and all kinds of things. And we just want to make sure that we budgeted enough, just in case.
Up to.
Yes, ma'am.
And I should have thought of this last time we talked about the tile. If you know what it looks like, we have extra tile samples from when the pool, I assume, when the pool was redone in the green room that I unburied.
Awesome.
There's a chance one of those matches. I've never looked at the pool tiles to actually know what I'm looking for.
Cool.
But you're more than welcome to come look at it and tell me if one of those matches just enough.
Yeah. So you know right where they are?
Yes. I mean, they're in a corner. I buried them.
Behind, okay.
But I know which corner.
All right. All right, any other questions or comments? We have a motion, we have a second. All those in favor, designate by show of hands. All right, thank you. It passes. The pool fixed. Next item is consideration of updating ordinance section 2-31 vacancy in council office. I know you wanted to comment on this. The recommendation for the attorney was to let's have one more work session because he feels like there's some questions about this, but we can certainly go ahead and discuss.
Sure.
I do want to apologize because I thought it was in the packet in case you guys are looking for it. It's not.
Okay. That's okay. We all ready.
Okay.
I wanted to bring it to a motion to have the conversation. Would you recommend that we wait until the next work session?
Yeah, when he's present, because he said after looking at it, he said that he actually has some concerns about what is currently in place as well.
Right.
Because, and I don't want to speak for him, but the way he was explaining it is, that the charter has criteria for when someone can be removed from office. Mm-hmm. And that is the charter. You can't change the charter unless you're the legislator still. So he said this ordinance was just more of a guideline when it was put in there. But what happens if somebody, what is the recourse if somebody misses too many meetings?
Right.
And he said it can become very litigious as to whether or not they should be considered. So I would just say, let's table it for the next work session.
Sure.
Thank you. That'll just make it better when we got a real legal mouthpiece here to help us understand that. Thanks. All right, next item number 6 is adding MPVFR referendum to the November 11th. What is that word?
Election
ballot. Yes. Thank you. Element of it. All right. Chair will entertain a motion.
I make a motion to approve the MPVFR referendum to the November election ballot that we came up with.
Second by Councilperson Silver. Discussion.
I do have a question.
Yes.
Would it be best for us not to include history, cost, and question, and just have a short title? Jennifer, do you have an opinion on that?
What do you? Well, the short title is a short title.
And then take out the headings, or should we leave them? Do you have an opinion, or do you think it's okay the way it is?
Okay. It's however you want it to be.
All right. I have one change that the attorney and I discussed. And it's one of those things that I just talked, way back, there's a difference between the word shall and the word may. You may or you may not, but you shall.
Uh-huh.
So I think shall means that this would look like a binding referendum.
Okay. Yeah.
I think it should the city of Mountain Park continue. So let's change shall to should, because it is a non-binding referendum, and that way it doesn't look like you're actually voting for something that is binding.
Can I amend my motion?
No, this is just a grammatical error. So I wanted just to make sure.
I would just like to comment to the audience that we went around and around and around and around and around and around. Every council member contributed, the mayor contributed, the lawyer contributed, and then we went around and around and around some more and more and more. So rest assured, everybody on council and in city administration did weigh in on this with an opinion, and we did reach a group consensus, a true consensus, and I am proud to serve with these council members who were able to reach this agreement, because we were coming from way different sides of the room.
So are you going to read what it is?
Yeah.
So can we hear it?
Well, I suggested it, but my suggestion was turned down.
Wait till November.
Should we read it?
Yeah.
If you want to read it, please do.
Want me to read it?
Yeah.
All right, the short title, Mountain Park Volunteer Fire and Rescue, in parentheses, MPVFR referendum, starts out with history. Since 1978, Mountain Park Volunteer Fire and Rescue, in parentheses, MPVFR, has played a traditional role in the community. For 20 years, MPVFR was the sole provider of fire suppression services. In 1998, to accommodate a growing population, the City of Mountain Park entered into a bundled agreement with the City of Roswell to provide E911 calls for police, fire, and rescue services. Under this agreement, both MPVFR and Roswell currently provide fire and emergency medical services to the City of Mountain Park. MPVFR continues to provide additional public safety services unique to Mountain Park. The next paragraph is labeled cost. As of July 1, 2023, the budget for Roswell Fire and E911 is $99,007, in parentheses, $28.54 per household per month. The budget for MPVFR is $19,343, in parentheses, $5.57 per household per month. Historically, MPVFR has received additional income generated from grants and fundraisers, and the last part is labeled question, should, not shall, the City of Mountain Park continue to sponsor and provide funding to the Mountain Park Volunteer Fire and Rescue, in parentheses, MPVFR, A, yes, B, no.
All right. Very straightforward question. I saw a hand up first and a second hand up.
I mean, I was at the work session. I thought Brandon, when you presented to him, said, you can't have all that stuff on it. You only have this much room to put your question.
I'm going to let Jennifer speak to that, because she spoke with the Secretary of State's office, and they may not have a limit on the number of characters in one respect, but in the other, there's maybe Jennifer.
Yeah, so there's two parts. There's a short title and then the question. I did reach out to the Fulton County folks who do our ballot building for us, because they handle our elections, because there was concern over having a certain number of characters. There is a certain number of characters in the title only, but the body of it, there was none.
So there's not a limit in that case. Thank you. Yes, ma'am.
Why are we doing this? I thought we just did a questionnaire and all that stuff. Is there some compulsion for y'all to put this on a referendum ballot, or just...
What questionnaire were you? Are you talking about the petition?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Because a lot of people expressed a desire to have. I mean, we had started working on this last month.
Right.
And that whole thing was just a distraction, and this would have been I get it.
Yeah, we would have probably been done with that question already. But we waited to see whether the petition was passed or not.
Yes, ma'am.
I just have a question. To me, there's a little bit of confusion. It's like we're putting Roswell Fire and Mountain Park Fire in an equal playing field. We're getting one for 15 and one for 99. And that's just not true. So I'd like to see a little more.
I'm not sure. Because I don't know what you're referring to, Nancy. Would you mind? What is it?
I said it makes it appear that Mountain Park and Roswell are the same equal playing field, except for we're paying Roswell 99, we're paying 15.
Yeah.
I would like to just comment that really this isn't totally up for discussion right now, because we've been working on this nonstop, and we've all agreed, and it doesn't imply that they're on an equal playing field at all.
It appears to me, if I can have my opinion on it.
You can.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
All right, and also I think that education is going to be most important between now and the November election. So all parties involved We need to get their information out there so that everyone feels comfortable. They fully understand whether it's level or not level, or whether it's equal or not equal, or whatever the case may be. So.
And there's not one untrue word in this yet.
All right.
And please remember, what's the old adage I quoted? Paying on both sides. Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
Nobody's on.
Yes, ma'am.
I guess I thought that y'all voted that down because you didn't have enough
signatures. Let me explain real quick.
What did you vote down?
What we voted down was a petition that was a collection of signatures that did not meet the threshold for a binding referendum, which meant that if it had been a binding referendum and it had been voted by a majority of the people, then it would have been a binding whatever the decision was. That did not pass because it did not meet the threshold. This is a non-binding referendum because so many people basically said that they wanted to be able to vote on this. They can vote on this, but it is not binding. It ultimately is up to the council to decide whether or not ultimately what happens.
I still thought that we didn't have enough signatures.
But that was for the petition.
We did. This is a referendum to vote. We're back in the same seat.
But it's non-binding versus a binding referendum.
But it takes us to the same seat. People are going to vote.
They do.
In or out.
Yeah.
I would also just like to add that everything that was talked about in the work session that citizens had a problem with was taken out. We changed everything based on the work session conversation.
All right, thank you. Yes, ma'am.
And Linda, just to clarify, this is something council voted on in March of this year. We voted to have a referendum on the ballot in November. So that was
right.
The only impact that was made over these months is that we were delayed in getting the question completed.
Because we were going to see what was going to happen with the petition, and if that went through, there was no need for us
exactly.
to continue. Thank
right.
you for clarifying.
I should have clarified. I guess I don't understand binding and non-binding, because it took us to the same place. People are going to vote.
Well, the difference.
Department out if they want it.
Well, they don't. They can vote. They can. Well, binding means if the citizens voted to take it out, then it was taken out. These council couldn't stop. Couldn't do anything about it. It's gone. If it's a non-binding.
Because I thought y'all voted and it was done.
No, we voted that the petition did not pass the threshold to be on the ballot as a binding referendum.
Which brought to the referendum. That's
which brought us back to the non-binding referendum, which means people can vote so that the council can see what the citizens would prefer. But ultimately, the citizens voting will not determine the outcome of whether the NPPFR stays or not. The council ultimately will vote.
Then the petition was a waste of time.
Well, it didn't. Yeah, it didn't pass. I mean,
waste
it
of time.
Well, that's an opinion, but I understand what you're saying.
And it costs a bit of money too.
Yeah. All right. Any other questions or comments? All those in favor, please designate by a show of hands, and it is unanimous. Thank you. Passes. All right. And last item is the Dynamo quote. No, it was the number 7. That's Jennifer.
Yep.
The pool filter.
Pool.
Pool filter, yes. Okay. So this was for the emergency repair on the pool filter itself. We knew it was coming. It just took a minute for them to get the invoice through. The total cost to replace that filter in its entirety was $5,802.
All right, Chair will entertain a motion.
I make a motion that we approve the Dynamo invoice at $5,802 for a new pool filter.
All right, do I have a second?
Second.
All right, Councilperson Myers. Any more discussion? Basically, it's one of those consent agenda type items because we've got to pay it. Yeah, all those in favor? And it passes. Thank you. I would like to just say, for the record, before we adjourn into executive session, this council has worked closely together for the past 2 years. I think it would be, unfair to somebody trying to come in and play catch up in a short period of time for the next 60 days. I think these folks have proven tonight that they can handle all of the items, even the ones of biggest and most importance, and be able to do it effectively and efficiently, and continue to do so for the next couple of months until the new players are determined. So thank you, and we will now, Chair will entertain a motion to adjourn into executive session.
Make a motion to adjourn into executive session.
Do I have a second?
Second.
All right. All right, all seconded, yes. Silver, all those in favor? All right, thank you, folks. You haven't got to go home. Can't say it.
I don't think we need you if you want to go.
Regular session.
Second.
Okay, we're now back in regular session.
Motion to adjourn?
Second.
Second, all those in favor? Thank you, good night, everybody.